Welcome to Blazing Grace with Jason Graves and Taff Winnick. Here you'll find no condemnation, just two guys who are willing to help you discover God's grace for your life. Let's tackle today's issues. Here's Jason and Taff.
It's another exciting edition of the Blazing Grace Show. This is Jason Graves along with my trusty sidekick, Taff Winnick. Hello, Taff.
Wow, that's not a stereotype or anything.
No. It's just what came out. I'm just trying it on.
Thanks for that. We'll try something else next time.
Well, I'll tell you what. As long as you be my sidekick, I'll be yours. How's that sound?
Okay. I was just thinking of being a kick.
A kick. Okay. Well, and you are quite a kick.
So yeah. Okay.
That's appropriate.
Great.
Speaking of kicks, I hope you'll get a kick out of our show today because we're going to talk about something that we're sort of just playing around with here in studio as you're listening, the idea of brotherhood. Now, you know, brothers are, what does the Bible say, born for adversity? And so, you know, we're having a little exchange here and playing around. That's one aspect of brotherhood, the proverbial sharpening of the sword sort of thing. But we want to kind of explore that. And we're kind of blessed, Taff, to have you talking about this topic, because I think you could probably write a book on the issue of brotherhood. So I'm excited for this. Tell me a little bit about how you conceptualize brotherhood. It's a word that I hear you using a lot. Obviously, it wasn't the first time I heard it before I met you, but I've never heard it used the way you talk about it. And so could you just paint a picture a little bit about how you conceptualize brotherhood and what are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll take a shot at that. I have always, when the battle for my heart started to take some shape in my life, mm-hmm. when I could see it that way, you know, when I knew that there was an enemy of my soul that really would like to take me out, I started to realize what fighting alone would feel like and what it would look like. And I think I've conceptualized brotherhood. It's still a work in progress. It'll be a work in progress before we finish this show, even, mm-hmm. Because I've realized how vital it is to have men in my life, brothers in my life, who will fight on those days when I forget to, or when I don't feel like it, or when, you know, I woke up and I forgot there was a battle, and so, mm-hmm. you know. So I'm taking some enemy fire, and it takes somebody else to come alongside and say, hey, do you realize you're bleeding?
Yeah.
So I've learned to value it, I guess maybe to a large degree, by realizing what happens when you don't have it.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that because we both have stories to tell about places we've been in life where we didn't have the kind of brotherhood, not only with each other, but with our other brotherly type friends. But I want to spend a little bit more time and get back to defining it, because you're talking about sort of support. It means support. It means fighting for one another. Okay. But tell me a little bit more about how do you help us get our minds around this concept of what brotherhood really means, and even any examples of what that looks like.
Well, I think it implies family,
mm-hmm.
that we come from the same father, that we fight for the same kingdom,
mm-hmm.
that we value victory and feel pain because we share in the same story.
Mm. Yeah,
and that's a hard thing to hold on to. It's a really cool thing to conceptualize. Mm-hmm. It's a hard thing to hold on to when you're actually walking with other men.
Right.
So. You know, to define it, it's this fellowship that we share. It's this unity that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to us so that we don't fight alone. I was thinking about this morning, you know, and you're going to hear me say a lot of, you're going to hear me use the phrase fighting for someone's story,
mm-hmm.
fighting for the story of Christ unfolding in someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about how, you know, wives have husbands to fight for their story.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be able to lean into us for those things, for someone to really care about the unfolding of the God's glory and grace in their life. And I'm thinking, well, who, and so that's a physical representation to women of Christ on the earth. And then I asked myself the question, well, who's the where do men get a physical representation of Christ in their life to help fight for their story? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we try to get the wives to do that back for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incomplete. And sometimes that doesn't work for reasons maybe we can talk about later. But
yeah, well, like, you know, we talked about this the other day. Eldridge talks about that, about not trying to find your manhood or get your question answered, your masculinity question answered by the woman. So in some part, it's almost like through our brotherhoods, those relationships that are most meaningful to us, closest to us, we get that question answered. Is that what?
Yeah,
that
I think that's where I'm going with mm-hmm. that. And for people who are listening who don't know what we mean by the question is this: do I, as a man, have what it takes mm-hmm. when it counts the most in life? Am I going to have what it takes? Can I come through?
Yeah, or whatever variation of that. Am I okay?
Am I loved? Am I worthy of being loved? Am I, you know, in those?
Am I included? In the circle of men, am I included in maleness? I mean, a lot of our same gender attracted clients really struggle with that question, and I know in my own same gender attraction struggle, there's been many times where I just felt like I was somehow different than the other guys. So that was a real obstacle, which we can talk about other obstacles a little later. But that was a real obstacle to brotherhood. And it's taken a lot to get over that, to be able to approach brotherhoods. But I want to share a little bit of my own definitions, because
please, yeah.
I don't pretend to be an expert on brotherhood. I feel like I'm maybe the junior partner in this deal today, because I really admire how much you have so much stock in this idea of brotherhood. And it just seems to be so central to who you are. But I, you know, my friend Brad and I've always thought of brotherhood as somebody that you could go to, anytime with anything. And I love how you put this, and nothing gets renegotiated. In other words, you're not going to get judged. It doesn't change the friendship or the relationship in a negative sense, or sometimes not even necessarily in a positive sense. It just is what it is. Confidant is another sort of synonym for me for brotherhood. And that, I mean, we need people to share with and to share the stuff that if it were up on a big screen TV in the middle of Walmart, you know, we couldn't shop there anymore or live in that town anymore, right? Because we got that stuff in our life.
Or be a U.S. citizen or, you know.
Or live on Earth, you know.
Right, yeah.
Or the moon. So you get it that, you know, we have junk. So to be able to have brothers that are that close and that you trust that much, to me, is brotherhood. But it's beyond just support in the positive, touchy-feely, feel-good sense. Sometimes we need somebody to kind of be willing to kick our butt, you know?
Exactly. I've said it like this before. I've said this to brothers that I've had, and I've invited them to say this back to me: if I have to fight you to help you in your story, I'm down for that.
Right.
And it would be hard for us to trust a brother who wouldn't be willing to do that.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you've got to, but it requires this one thing. It you have to be in order for nothing to be renegotiated in light of all of the brokenness that we all have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of something that Paul said. He said, "I've determined to know no man after the flesh, but only after the Spirit."
Hmm.
And I think if a brother doesn't know us after the Spirit, if they don't see some truth of the way that the Spirit of Christ rests in us, that's the thing that doesn't get renegotiated. Who you are in God
mm-hmm.
remains the same regardless of how you're handling your brokenness today.
Say more about that, the Spirit part, knowing... I forget how you put it, but, you know, knowing somebody in the Spirit.
Well, it's like this. You can be familiar with someone.
Mm-hmm.
You can...
That's the flesh part.
Right. That's mm-hmm. And it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is. It's mm-hmm. You can be familiar and you can... You know how they joke. You know what innuendo is funny to them. You know kind of how they roll, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different thing entirely to have, in addition to that, for the Holy Spirit to show you someone.
Mm-hmm.
Where you look and you see something of the glory of Christ in them. You see, it's not a crystal ball kind of experience, but it's just, it's almost like you look at someone and the Holy Spirit pulls back the curtain for you and you see the glory that they were made for.
Yeah.
You see the strength that they have, and they may not even be walking in that strength.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times what the Spirit will show you about somebody may be something they're not even, that the person themselves isn't even in touch with yet. But you just begin to see the strength in them. You see some of the purpose of God in them. You can only see that by the Spirit.
Right.
The open the eyes of my heart thing. You know, your heart has to see that in someone.
Yeah.
And when you see that and you begin to walk with somebody that way, whatever it is they're struggling with, however broken they are, if they just have tripped and fallen in it,
mm-hmm.
you know, on a given day, you're able to still see them in more of the truth of who they are.
It's kind of like Braveheart, you know, William Wallace, when he was trying to positively confront Robert the Bruce and saying, there's a strength in you. I can see it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Robert the Bruce obviously could not see it because he never went on in the story to really live into that. But is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yeah, it's exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you speak to that, and this is where it's really powerful. This is why... You know, we were talking about someone fighting for our story,
mm-hmm.
and I want to say some things later about significance and how we wrestle with that or grope at that or mm-hmm. handle that. But we're mostly afraid that our story's not significant. And if we try to make it significant ourselves, we end up screwing it up. So we need a brother to be able to do what Wallace did and look over and say, you know what, I see this in you. There's mm-hmm. strength in you. I see it. They call it out. You call it out in someone.
Right.
And a lot of times it brings something to be that wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's really fascinating because, I mean, if I think about some of the famous or quasi-famous brothers I know, I think about people like John Townsend and Henry Cloud, who, you know, I've gotten to know a little bit personally and spent some time with them in Europe this summer. And just amazing what they've been able to accomplish. And I think it's in part because... You know, if you know John and Henry, they're very different people, actually, from each other. I would have never picked them out in a room to say, oh, those guys are going to be famous brothers, and they're going to do some really amazing kingdom work. But I think it has to do with sort of knowing your role. And speaking of that, I'm taking an improv class. Okay, did you know this? Did I tell you this? We're on Wednesday nights, we're doing classes as a family. So Susan's taking an art adventure class. Whatever that is, I'm not exactly sure, but and I'm taking improv, and of course, you know, Jeremy says, "Oh, I don't know if we want you taking improv, Jason, because it might exacerbate the issue." But
I got to admit, I'm sitting here going, "Wait a minute, you needed an improv class?"
Right. Well, so. You know, improv isn't exactly what you think I'm learning. I mean, you think of improv, you think of Whose Line Is It Anyways, right? And Wayne Brady and how brilliant they are, and they're always so funny, right? Well, it's not always about being funny. It's about knowing your part. And so sometimes if you're in a skit or a sketch and you're doing some kind of team languaging or something like that, sometimes your part might be the or it or whatever. And it's funny because of the setup or the team. It works. There's magic. Because of that brotherhood or that connection. And I think that's like with John and Henry, what they've got going is that they know their part, you know, and that's difficult because as men, we can be competitive. And especially with some guys that are, you know, successful and high functioning, that competitiveness can come into a relationship. And, you know, that's one of the things I admire about you. I don't really sense that from you a lot. I sense it in me, you know, like I'm, you know, I'm still on a growing edge there. You know what I mean? Competitiveness comes up for me. I mean, I've got a lot of sports in my background and things. And so it's sort of from that angle too. But I think it's also a character thing that sometimes we can feel insecure if we're not on top. So I think that's one of the challenges to brotherhood is that when we let toxic competitiveness, if we can call it that, enter in, it can break things down, can it?
Well, I can't get this framework in my mind anyway. I can't get out of this battlefield framework.
I can. So does that mean I'm better than you in this area?
Probably so.
Okay. But, just checking. But I was feeling a little insecure when I'm over hearing here.
It, we'll talk more about that.
Okay.
Later.
All right.
Right. Segment two, when Brotherhood goes wrong.
Right. Yeah. On the air.
Right. But every time I think about this, and even just hearing what you said about competition, mm-hmm. when I think in terms of like a Braveheart style battlefield, mm-hmm. how would it have served any of those men to have remotely been in competition?
Right.
And we do competition, I think, largely because we don't see the battle.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see what's at stake.
Yeah.
We get around someone and like, wow, maybe their gift is stronger than mine, or maybe they're more articulate, or they're a better connector than me, or they're, you know, and we start to get this really weird oogie feeling.
Yeah.
Like maybe I don't feel like I'm enough when I'm around them.
Yeah.
Instead of just being able to relax and love the glory that's in them.
Right.
And let that be what it is and hope that they do that back.
Yes. And not have to. Yeah. You know, that is such a good analogy because it brought me to one of the Lord of the Rings movies they're fighting. And I think it was Gimli, the little short guy.
Right.
Who is counting the number of orcs or whatever that he's slaying. And as he's counting, he's yelling over the numbers. And I'm thinking, as he's doing that, which, like you said, how does that really serve them as a unit for him to be doing that? It may seem harmless, but as he's doing that, he's actually not being productive, number one, for the team. But secondly, he's maybe not challenging the others in the healthiest of ways, but he's also being distracted. And as he's looking over, he's also making himself vulnerable to the attack. In other words, as he's not on his guard because he's focusing on something else, you know, you're really actually vulnerable due to that kind of competitiveness, okay? So there's one challenge. But I want to talk about other challenges and obstacles to brotherhood. What else makes that hard? Because, I mean, it is very vulnerable. It goes against, it's counterintuitive because, you know, men tend to like to isolate, generally speaking. How many men have you known who have just totally gone against, you know, what that saying of no man is an island? I mean, how many islands do we know? Tons.
That's given to us, you know, almost from the get-go. Mm-hmm. That, you know, as a boy on the earth, you're really supposed to work this out on your own.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, that's and if you can't work it out on your own, if you need something from somebody, well, then what's your problem?
Right. And that is such a dangerous idea. By the way, if you're just tuning in, you know, you're listening to the Blazing Gray Show. We're talking about brotherhood. And boy, have you ever heard a show on brotherhood before? Well, I'll tell you what. The idea of brotherhood is challenged by many things. What we're talking about right now with Taff is how this idea of you got to figure it out on your own. And that can have many manifestations. I mean, how many clients have you had, Taff, that their sexual addiction struggle started when they were handed a pornography magazine to say, basically, in so many words, this is what sex is, which is a lie, and now you just figure it out. I mean, how many times have you heard that basic story?
Well, think about how this matches up to what we just said. You know, because when you have to be in relationship with an actual person and your sexuality is played out with an actual other person.
Yeah.
That's complicated.
Right.
And beautiful and wonderful and, you know, sensual, and it's hard work, and there's all kinds of scary, mm-hmm. you know, there's all kinds of nuance to that, mm-hmm. and it's not automatic. It's not bliss on tap.
Right.
And if any one of you that's listening has bliss on tap, please call.
Call us at 719-268-2764. We'd like to get to know you and what your secret is.
Right, and whether or not you've written anything. So,
Bliss on tap. That could be the next show, you know. I mean, it's got a ring to it.
Like it. It could be edgy.
Right.
But yeah, let's go for that. But okay, so think about what we said a minute ago. Mm-hmm. It's you really need to figure this out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So a man feels like he's on his own for the most part on this planet anyway.
Right.
You know, you don't get a lot of, it's not okay to need a lot of things emotionally as a man.
Right.
We kind of try to make the argument that women are more emotionally complex. I don't buy it at all.
No. But we're both created as human beings. We both have the same emotions. We're created imago Dei in the image of God. God has communicable or shared emotions that we have just like him. Okay. So we get indoctrinated into this lie that you got to figure it out on your own. You got to do it on your own. If you rely on others, you're weak.
So check this out. If you can't figure out your sexuality mm-hmm. very quickly and very easily, and we're all about quick and easy when we're trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
You know, we get frustrated if we come up on something that we can't fix.
Cliff notes.
Right. Mm-hmm. We want the fast version of that because my being able to figure it out is what tells me that I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if I can't do that quickly, I mean, think about the imagery or even just someone you don't, in terms of sexuality, the sexual imagery of pornography or what someone who's not your spouse in a covenant relationship with you, right. what they represent. They represent lots of payout. Very little investment. It's something you can figure out really quickly.
Yeah.
It's artificial mm-hmm. and it's self-sabotaging. But on that level and so deep is our need to be able to figure things out quickly that we'll go for that sometimes.
Right. When that, it is not, we're, you know, we do live in that microwave generation. But the reality is that the word says wisdom is found in what? Many counselors. So, I mean, think about that picture of sitting around a table with many counselors. There's nothing quick about that. I was watching TV yesterday, and of course, we're in the middle of this whole, we're going to rescue Wall Street and all that kind of stuff. And there's George Bush sitting there, and Barack Obama, and John McCain, and all the Boehner, and all those other guys. And, you know, there was very little talking going on because they're trying to figure this out. It wasn't happening fast. You know, you got Martha Stewart saying, oh, you got to be able to multitask and whip this answer up real quick. I mean, this has been a problem that's been years in the making. And just like many of our personal issues, they've been around for a while and they take some time, some wisdom, some counsel to get to the bottom of. And that requires brotherhood, being willing to walk with that with other men and be vulnerable that way. So we just have a couple minutes left. Any final closing thoughts on brotherhood, Tap? And we're probably going to need to do a whole other show on this. So, but anything left over for you?
Yeah, I think this just kind of opens the conversation. Mm-hmm. I think where this goes is it's kind of like what I mentioned before about seeing someone in the Spirit, having the Holy Spirit show you who someone is.
Right.
I think the Holy Spirit has to show us what brotherhood is.
Right.
Because until we've seen it, you know, we can multitask, we can be
right.
brilliant,
right.
you know. The Titanic could have been full of multitaskers and it still
right.
would have sunk.
Exactly.
Because okay. they didn't see ahead, so.
Okay. Well, yeah. Listen, speaking of seeing ahead, we got a couple events on the horizon here coming up quick. For those of you who may be looking for a gathering, we're going to be having a retreat in Memphis. So go to healingforthesoul.org and just click on the services tab and the retreat page for that information. That's the weekend of the 17th through the 19th of October. Also, Taff and I are going to be at Love One Out right here in Colorado Springs on the 25th of October. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported program, and your prayers and financial contributions are greatly appreciated. For more information on the issues discussed in today's program, or to make a donation, go to healingforthesoul.org. We appreciate you listening and hope you join us next time for Blazing Grace.